Good evening and welcome to Scratched Up Radio Theater on listener-supported KKRN Community Radio. Tonight we present two plays, Will They Let It Burn and The Mirror. First, Will They Let It Burn, written by playwright Jim Strope, his first submission to Scratched Up Radio Theater.
I'm out of things. Nobody delivers. Haven't been out for days. Call a cab. Gotta get out of here. My name is Diana. Not Diane, and certainly not Di. Steph tried to hang a nickname on me. She manufactures useful clown personalities. She rebranded Boomer, and he likes it. I stand at my window, looking down on the street, people scurrying bags and boxes. Do they read? If you don't read, you won't be read about. A swaggering man comes into view, has a wife or two somewhere, confused. Probably a kid, most confused of all. Sorry, kid. Everything's already been stolen. The trees in their boxes are more alive, springing from their containers, sledding after the wind and the rain and the sun. I want a love like that. Phone's broke. What's going on? Katie, sitting on the curb, weeping. What did she see? More horrifying than falling out of a fairy tale. Not just doomed, but damned. That's what she saw. Her own damnation. Not in religious sense, but in the human sense, the cosmic. She was becoming nothing at all, and knew it. My life is not like that. I have friends. We're close. Even Katie. I'd call her right now, but my phone doesn't work. Would even call Steph. Customer service gave me a ticket and then stopped answering my calls. How can that be? Boomer gave me a gun. Boomer. Now there's a piece of work. Hasn't called. Stood me up last night on the call. When a guy says he's going to do something and then doesn't, can him. Get furious and then let him have it. Maybe it was the phone, though. Maybe he can't call either. But he could have come over. Drove here if he cared about her at all. Walked if he loved me. Press the button at the gate. I'd buzz you in. He's clumsy and stupid. Got another woman on the side. I could kill him for that. I'm not going anywhere on foot. A woman walked silently and alone from duty or fear. On Saturday morning, required presence, a job where she would be greeted by silent people trapped in time and place for almost nothing. Not slavery in the worst of its usage, but a persistent confinement by a mean, hostile, thieving face from which there can be no escape. The woman turned the corner and disappeared. Boomer, he was just a boy, impetuous, so all over the place in a stupid way. He made me laugh once or twice, but that was long ago. I'll have to save myself. I told him he could tie me up and spank me, then do what he wanted. He just looked surprised. Not a dangerous man. Why was there so much trash now? I'm going out. If the cab ever comes, they answered my text. The huntress will emerge to seek her prey. The freeway, fire trucks, ambulances, military vehicles, police cars, family cars packed with kids and stuff, trucks with their cargoes, going out of town. Why are they leaving? Something happening? Nothing on TV but ads, no shows, no news. I had a dangerous man once. I keep him back there to be brought out in some new and different way. Don't overuse it. Boomer's the worst. Lazy and stupid. Too friendly with Stephanie and her crowd. Too friendly with her. And is there a reason they haven't fixed the phones? Is it planned? Cost savings? And why so many leaving town? And why was TV all commercials? Again, the detestable music from the house next door. Ugh, earlier than usual. Their peeps were beginning to arrive. The music and their laughter and asinine chatter would crescendo as they became convinced of their joy, mutually hypnotized into believing they were happy, that they were beautiful and on top of the world, that the world was not on top of them, that things were going to get better for them. They were idiots. How had I gotten to this time and place? The woman in the book was not prepared to be ordinary. With each step, the plain things in life seemed more and more shop-worn, rejected, washed out, disheveled, each home a little shabbier than the previous, until at last every possibility was disgusting. She made her sick. She made her last, my heart beat faster, a question of when. I thought of the original sinner, the man who had broken me in, who had made a woman of me as he did. Do I love him or hate him? Then at work, adolescent jerks trying to hang out in my cube, offering to get me coffee as if that was all it would cost, as if I were the stupidest woman in the world. It was insulting and repetitious. They deserved kicking. Even if you decided to pick one because he seemed so lonely and pathetic and manageable, possibly grateful, but it would just be a score for him, something to brag about in the company of his even stupider friends who never dated, never found even one woman to hold. And why were there only commercials on TV? Where was he now, the original sinner? They killed child molesters in prison, or maybe a certified offender in a trailer park. Perhaps I could look him up, could knock on his door. I'd recognize him through his old beaten, pathetic, defeated face. Couldn't make a baby that way. That's what he told me. I'd just been curious, never been kissed. Could empty my gun on him. Boomer's gun. Is that why my life was so flat? Couldn't tell the difference between pain and pleasure? I looked at my book. Books were getting stupider. The whole world was. Newspapers were packed with insipid information and crime and disaster. Libraries and bookstores were closing. The one reliable door into a sensible world was slowly creaking shut. Why wasn't Boomer here to enjoy the joke? Because I belittled him, that's why, which he didn't take so good. A real man would be challenged. He'd be seducing me right now instead of being alone and depressed. Should I again go out and find a man to help me in my illusion? That'd be the last thing to fall. Some woman turned to drugs or drinking, sitting in the corner dreaming that Prince Charming was going to waltz in and carry her off, but really falling into terrifying dreams of oblivion, and then the morning brings its price. Yet another day older in the face of the mirror, the shocking ghost, the staring hag. Who's going to want your bone bag, then? The cab arrives, and I'm out the door and into the trashy street. Smell of smoke. The street. Piles of boxes. Baby furniture. The detritus of eviction. Scattered defeat. I thought about how I would choose Boomer's replacement. How I would regard them, defiantly, wantonly, or innocently. Lower my gaze as if ashamed of something, as though I were already guilty to stare into his face. He'd offer me a little gift, a joke, and after cautiously dancing around nothing at all, I'd say to myself, "You'll do." And I'd make him take me to his place, and we would get right down to it. Traffic lights don't work. Cars talk angrily with their horns at intersections. In the morning, I might give him a gift, not because I liked it, because I didn't, nor because he liked it, which he would, but because Boomer would sense it somehow in my voice when I told him goodbye forever. The vicious twist of the knife as I replaced him. I did it for Boomer. No goodbye. Cut it off. Vandalized ATM. I might notice Steven's business card. That would be his name. Not Steve. Steven with a PH. French parents. I'd take his card in the morning. A physician at the university hospital. I'd laugh. Could have played for more. Possible wife of a doctor, but really just another toss-off as I once again joined the jeering crowd. Store windows smashed and broken into, boarded up. I'd return to my house, shower, brush my teeth, and go to bed alone, unencumbered by another body, free of compromises, the duties of conversation, free of groping foreplay and the responsibilities of consummation, if that's what it was. Within the soft luxury of my own bed, I'd fall asleep with accomplishment, as though things were balanced for once. I killed you, Boomer. You're as dead as can be and still be alive, and I want you to feel it. Man sleeping on the sidewalk. I gave the driver an extra 20 and the promise of another to wait 5 minutes. Bar was empty on Saturday, out of whiskey. No wine. Smoking was back in fashion. Bartender and three scruffy men turned their ugly faces to me. I left. The cabbie left. The man on the sidewalk had not moved. Cab texted me. Over an hour. It was only 2 miles. I said I'd be walking down the street. Look for me. Sure, the guy said, obviously lying. Not that we don't want to give you a ride, lady. Hard to get drivers to go over there. I'm okay. I can take care of myself. Several fires burn ahead of me. The guy on the sidewalk had not moved. I'm already around the corner and down the street.
I stopped for a drink at Clancy's. Old guy on the sidewalk. Taking a nap, I guess. You deserve it, old-timer. Dead in the joint today. No women. Hey, should I go the rest of the way to Di's? How do I know she's even home? How do you know she'll let me in? Mighty pissed last time. Pulled all my triggers. Criminals at a table. Stay on your side or I'll rip your head off and kick it down the street. Nobody here I know. Hostile bartender, not going to risk his life to save me. Might be working with him. No service on my phone. Where else could I go? Should I text her? I need to see other people. Kind of rude. Like I don't care. Texts don't get through anyway. She's too stuck up for me. And her friends, too. Except Steph. She's okay. Likeable. That's it. Go where the women are. Always three together for protection. From what I don't know, they feel safe. Pick one out. Not the best. Give her a malingering glance. I want to kiss you all over, from head to toe. That's what I'd say. Even if you don't succeed, create the conditions. Makes change possible. Don't be serious. Play card after card until you come to the one you want. What's he going to do next, she thinks. Keep being funny. Thinks she knows you and still curious. That's a good sign. I had a chance. Diana was testing me. How brave and original was I in the face of domestic ennui? Wanted to know if I could survive. Did I only want the candy and the comfort? Am I anything at all? That's what she wanted to know. But there's plenty of fish in the sea. I've yet to pay the price. In tears, I left the bar. Old man's still on the sidewalk. Smokier. No sirens. I'll go to her house.
Moving fast, sometimes running, column of smoke in the distance. Go around the fire to get home. Boomer, that guy, did have a way about him, could get things done. And he was not bad looking. He was okay when we were out together, good at jokes, not hilarious. Better than nothing. Could be creative with the kissing. People walking fast, carrying things, kids, away from the fire. Don't notice me. Maybe I'm too critical. could be more relaxed, less judgmental. Wish you were here with me right now. Not that I need him. Imagine running into him on the street. Glad to see each other, run into each other's arms like a bad movie. That would be our joke. Maniac-driven cars? Why couldn't I get what I wanted more easily? The original sinner. Again, remembered from time to time, re-examining the contradictions. If Boomer would call, I'd let him take me out. I would reluctantly let him have me, if only to keep him around, because losing him would seem like a loss. Because he made me feel wanted and pretty, although not reliably. I'd rather a better man, wooing me with his gifts that I could flaunt, taking me to exotic places where I could flirt with hot and handsome men, grateful for a moment alone with a wealthy, married American woman. Walking fast until I cool down and then running again, flames showing through the smoke.
I caught my breath. Bleeding had stopped. The cut on my arm wasn't so bad. Still had my keys. Circled back, but my car windows were broken out. Ignition pulled out. Key wouldn't work. Dead phone. No money. No cards. I tried to look angry enough to tear the head off you. Like I had guns. Lots of guns. I walk in Di's direction. Ring the buzzer. I'll be safe there. Up the little hill, distant columns of smoke. Why were there no sirens, no helicopters? Breeze at my back. Walking further, stronger wind pushing paper and plastic toward the fire, throwing grit into my eyes. Cardboard boxes, trash cans. Come and see me, the fire said. I stop in a doorway. Wind howled through the overhead wires. A woman crossed the street with a baby. The wind tipped over the stroller, dumping the kid to the pavement, blowing the carriage down the street toward the fire. The kid sat up and fell over. She got the kid, but lost her balance and fell. I stepped out of the doorway, but was pushed by the wind at my back. The fire was closer. The wide column of smoke reached high. Flames. Both sides of the street ahead were burning. Get the child first, and then Mom. The stroller tumbled toward the fire. She stood up, but the child was pulled from her arms, and they fell down. She stumbled after the child toward the fire. If I got her and the kid to a street horizontal to the wind, they'd be safe until the fire advanced to that point. Well, what could I do? Close to Di's house. Di's out here someplace. She's smart. She can take care of herself. The fire's growing. I need to get further away. I need to save myself. I need to head into the wind. Which way would she have gone? If she went toward the bar I just left, I'd see her coming up the street. It'd be great to run into her. She'd kick my ass. What took you so long? Playing the seductress like she does so well. And the tying up and spanking thing should be revisited. Fire almost surrounding me. Head for the widest gap closest to me. I didn't see her on the street. She wouldn't be closer to the fire. Lean into the wind. Push. Look down the side streets to see who is waiting for a miracle. She was right or left. Why didn't I save the kid and his mom? Maybe she crawled out, laid low and crawled.
Buildings were burning on both sides of the street several blocks away. My building was on the other side. Go around. Wish I could tell Boomer what was happening. Don't come to see me. Let's go out to dinner instead. He always has something to say, even if the joke's on him. I'd make him take me to this place, where it's safe. I'd undress as we came through the door, saying I didn't want to appear easy, but would he mind dragging me into his bedroom, throwing me onto the bed and kissing me all over? Let me help you with this, he'd say. Might not get all the way through the doorway. Where were the fire trucks? I'll go around the fire. If I could see further, the wind was stronger. Which way to turn? The wind blew dirt in my face. Want to sit in the doorway. But the fire is coming. That sick feeling. Pick a direction. Not where the wind wants me to go. Faster. Run.
The gap in the fire was closing. Buildings on both sides of the street were burning. The car careened toward the gap, picking up speed, dodging people, trying to flag it down, and plunging down the street through the flames. Did it get away? The wind had stopped. No longer outside of the firestorm. We moved to the center of a parking lot. She would not be among us. She was too smart. She could have been in that car that almost ran me down, sped through the flames and out the other side. She could have flipped me off. Before her new friend opened the car door for her, he'd say, "Ass grass or gas, baby. Nobody rides for free." "Let's go," she says, climbing in. And when outside the firestorm, he climbs toward her for his reward, at last supreme in this lawless world. But she'd have her pistol out. She knew where the heart was. "Get out of the car," she'd say, convincingly. She didn't want to shoot him, get blood on her new car, and waste a bullet on the stupid jerk. She always thought ahead. He'd reach for the keys, leave him. He'd take her advice, and she'd be on her way. Into the cool world, blue sky, the world of swimming pools and iced cocktails with amusing friends. Fire everywhere. I try to breathe, but I can't get any air. Panic. Lose consciousness before I burn. The person looked to me. Her face. I was safe. How I missed her.
You have been listening to Jim Strope's Will They Let It Burn? The actors were Jessica Fletcher and John Welsh, directed by themselves. Our second play is The Mirror, written by Victoria Pettit. The Mirror dramatizes the conflict between the two sides of a troubled teenager's psyche.
Come on. Come on. Come on.
We don't need those.
I have to take them.
Don't grab the bottle.
Shut up! Please. We're supposed to be getting better.
These pills aren't going to help. Don't you know that already? It's all a lie.
I need these pills so I don't hear you in my head.
No, you need me, Evan. There's no way you'll be able to function out there without me.
Yes, I can. Even Mom said I was.
Mom? Mom? She doesn't know you like I do. She doesn't understand anything about you. She doesn't even love you.
Yes, she does. She told me.
She hates you, Evan. From the second you were born, she hated you. Those pills won't change any of that. They won't change who you are, who you really are. They won't make her love you.
Stop saying that!
Just five more minutes. What about Lizzie, huh? Do you think she loves you?
Well, yeah. She's my sister. This hair.
Pills won't fix this.
What about algebra last year?
Yeah, what about it?
We were about to have another episode. And then we took our pills and everything went back to normal.
Normal? That's funny.
I'm serious. Just listen, okay? What about that football game freshman year, the stands were so crowded and we were getting thrown around so much. It wasn't a safe environment for me, for us. But these helped.
Yeah, I remember that game. We weren't ready for that kind of social interaction.
And Mom told us we shouldn't have gone. She cares about me. About us. These pills help.
If you take them, though, I go away. I won't be there to protect you. I don't think you can do this on your own.
I can. I'm okay now.
Are you?
I think so. I need to do what's best for me.
For you? What about me, Evan? I am a part of you, too.
You say you want to protect me, but all you do is bring me harm.
Throw the damn pills out. We don't need it. You only need me, Evan. Damn it. You need me.
No. 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 I don't need you. I don't need these. Stop. Please. Just stop. I won't take these. I'll do whatever you want. Just stop.
Flush the pills.
All of them?
Yep. No more. From now on, we're in control. Not the pills.
I don't know. Is this really a smart idea?
Now!
Okay. Okay, fine. What now?
I'm in control now.
What? Wait, I thought you said you... We were in control. Wait!
You have been listening to The Mirror, written by Victoria Pettit. Our cast featured Kyle Thompson and Keith Rose. Our technical director, as always, is Lily Dubois. I'm your host, Dicky Magadoff. Good night, and thanks for listening to Scratched Up Radio Theater. KKRN Community Radio is an all-volunteer station, primarily dependent on listeners' donations and underwriting. Now, KKRN is facing a serious challenge as our 12-year-old equipment starts to degrade. We have established a KKRN capital campaign to raise $15,000 to replace our computers and upgrade our Wi-Fi. We need to get at least one new computer and pay for its installation as soon as possible. If you are able, please consider our need to replace and improve the equipment that keeps KKRN on the air. You can donate at kkrn.org or mail a check to P.O. Box 188, Montgomery Creek, 96065. From all of us, from Scratched Up Radio Theater and KKRN Community Radio, we thank you for all of your support. Magic Man.